Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
Do you see yourself in your vision? I mean, do you see yourself in such an area, wow, look what God is doing through me and for me in this vision that He has given me? I want you to go with me today to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. And I want to talk about vision, the biggest word in God's vocabulary, because it encapsulates everything. Salvation, healing is in vision of what the Father saw, and He had a business meeting with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. Before any of this was ever created, any of this, before we were a thought in the mind of God, and the Father God told Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I'm gonna create a man. Angels didn't know what a man was. What's a man? No one had ever seen that. God has many wonderful species, like the wheel within the wheel in Ezekiel, and cherubims and seraphims, archangels. I mean, it's just amazing. But every one of them have the title of a servant. But this species called mankind, God would call family. He would call you sons and daughters. That's why you hear God express, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visited him, and the translators of the Bible got real scared. And they used the word angel, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, when it really reads, thou hast made him a little lower than God. And you know, and yet the church world has a hard time understanding that, because they don't understand their position in Christ. They don't. The reason why they don't understand prosperity, for one, is they have accepted the act of giving God's way, but they have not accepted the act of receiving God's way, because they think that's just too much. You see, and that has nothing to do with what they think, but what God thinks. I want to talk about vision, the biggest word in God's vocabulary, and I want to go to the book of Joshua, chapter 14, and I want to start reading with verse 6. Then I'm going to get into this. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord, my God. Now underline that statement if you have, if you got your Bible. He wholly followed the Lord. He didn't follow his dictates. This was the number two man in Israel. And Moses swear unto that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever. And it still is that today in Israel. Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord, my God. Twice God says that about this man. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, so now he's 85. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. That's 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war. See, when you understand vision, you never lose your strength to fight. No matter how old you are. They think of people only with wisdom. But how about a little brawn? He said, I'm 85 years old, and I'm just as strong as I was, and Moses brought me here 45 years ago. And I want to tell you something. I'm ready for war. Watch it. Is my strength for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give, he didn't ask, give me this mountain where the Lord spake in that day, for thou hearest in that day how the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh. Notice he was not in a hurry. And you've heard me say this if you heard me preach before. Never mix faith and time. Because time will become your enemy. How many of you are pastors? Hold your hand up. Put your hand down. How many of you people have left your church? Hold your hand up. I said this before. I got to say it again. You know why? You might have thought maybe you said something bad. No. Actually, the reason why they left your church is because what you preached, they embraced. They loved it. They said, man, I'm coming to this church. My God, they preached the word. But it didn't happen fast enough. Then they said, you look at that, man. That stuff doesn't work. So they go to another church that's nowhere near the power that they left. You see, and I've said that so many times before. See, they embrace what you said. But in the Bible explicitly says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Now, you got to understand something about Caleb. 45 years he had a chance to doubt. But he got that mountain on his mind. He got Hebron on his mind. He actually, all the patriarchs are buried on his property. Now, you think about that. This man called Caleb, because he wholly followed the Lord. Him and Joshua wholly followed the Lord. They're the only two that came out of the original into the promised land. Moses didn't make it. Aaron didn't make it. Miriam didn't make it. But Joshua and Caleb made it. And if you read about that, you'll find out that they wholly followed the Lord. See what I'm saying? He had time to say, it's not going to work, but his vision was for that mountain. Now, Joshua, give me that mountain. So I want to talk about, therefore, and I want to read this point that I've said to some people in this meeting. Your vision will not succeed while doubting yourself and thinking thoughts of failure. Cling to success thoughts. Let me say it again. Your vision will not succeed while doubting yourself and thinking thoughts of failure. Cling to success thoughts. Everything I've ever done, everyone's told me I could not do. Yeah. Couldn't. Impossible. You can't. I have to watch what I think because God gives me what I think. Wow. But he knows your thoughts. He does. And you know, I would never say this at Oral Roberts University, but I thought, my God, I wouldn't mind having a doctorate degree at Oral Roberts University. Now I was preaching every day. I didn't have time to go to school. And all of a sudden, Chancellor Roberts came up to me and he said, Jesse, I want you to listen. Now, I didn't know Kenneth knew about it. And so did Jerry, but I didn't know. He said, Jesse, I want to confer upon you. And he did it through Richard, an honorary doctorate of divinity. He didn't know I wanted that. I didn't have to say it. I thought it. And I said, well, I wish I could earn the degree. And Chancellor Roberts would say this, the honorary doctorate is greater than the earned degree. I said, what? I always thought the exact opposite. He said, anybody can go to school and earn a degree. Just go to school, apply yourself, pass the test, and you got it. But when you conferred an honorary doctorate degree, they're giving that to you because of the work that you, the track record that you have and what you've done with the gospel. And that's far greater than earning a degree. That came from Oral Roberts' lips. Now, I had many opportunities to doubt, but I refused to do it. I would cling to success. So you can't do that. But I would say a scripture, but God said, I could do all things. Now, either you lying or God lying, I pick you. You'll never make $100 million. Right. I've done way better than that. You see, it don't make no difference, you see, what they say. That's what I want to talk about. See, when you understand, I kept my eyes on what I want, what God told me I should do. I knew I needed the tools to do it. And that was not my job to try to function and make it work, like beating the bushes to get it. I just cling, grabbed success thoughts. And when somebody would give me a thought that wasn't right, I'd let that bypass me. Like the building of this building. I've never built anything in my life. I always bought a building, Stephen, or, you know, at least one. And when I built, I didn't know what to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I was telling George, if you go all the way to that corner back there, and I mean, that's a long way back there, all the way there, there is not no support system here. Now, how are you going to keep that stretch, all that weight? That's tons of steel. But I didn't want, have you ever been in a church where you got to look? And so when we had the, what's that guy, the architect? the one that kept saying the building cries out for it. And Kathy said, well, let it cry. And to make a long story, I said, I was supposed to have one here, one there, one there. And you know, I said, no, I don't want that. And you've heard me say this story. And I have to get where I was. I walked, and this was all concrete. So I came up about right here. And I said, God, I need to know how to do this. And I'm not a carpenter. I just need to know how to do that. Now, you had a bunch of people that wasn't born again because the contractor, he hired them. I didn't know who they were. So and I said, I want everybody to come with me. We're going to pray here. And God's going to speak to us. Amen. And everybody looked at me like, what did he say? I was standing right here. I said, come over here. So, man, I had the architect, the contractor, and he had some of those guys. And this one guy, I said, everybody grab a hand, we're going to pray. And this kid, he's 18, he said, let me put my cigarette down there. And it wasn't tobacco. You know. They got him out of jail that morning, but he worked. You know? So he took a little weed and he stuck it there. I don't care about what he's smoking. I'm trying to find out how I get to have these crazy beans. So I grabbed the hand. Now, everybody thought I was supposed to get the word. So I said, Jesus, you could feel the shaking go all the way around. I said, God, show us how not to have braces in here. I don't want people looking around a post. Lord, do this now. And I said, everybody look at me. What did God say? And they did the same thing you did. Architect said, well, he ain't said nothing to me. Contractor said, Jesse, he ain't said nothing to me. I said, God just spoke to somebody. Tell me what he said. And this kid says, And you can see the architect, man, he's stoned out of his mind. He says, you know, wait, let me get my weed in. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. It's a bunch of ex-heathens. You know what I'm talking about. He said, you ever thought about doing this? And the contractor and the architect went, oh, God, that'll work. I looked at that man. I said, young man, God just spoke to you. He went, wow, man. And that's why we don't have braces. Because everything's pulling against itself. See, God will use a heathen because sometimes Christians are not listening. And the next day, he come back up, they said, won't you pray again so I can say something from God? And I forget that kid. You know, he's just 18 years old. He got him out of jail. I don't know what he did. That's none of my business, you see. I had to build this place. So I clung, if that's a correct word. I don't know if that's the right word. I'll just coin it, to success thoughts. Yeah, but you don't know how to build a business. I don't need to know how. I just need to obey. To obey. Write this down. Your mind must be filled with cheerful and optimistic pictures of achievement. Do you see yourself in your vision? I mean, do you see yourself in such an area, go, wow, look what God is doing through me and for me in this vision that he has given me. Your mind must be filled with cheerful and optimistic pictures of achievement. See, you got to believe in yourself because how you expect anybody else to believe in you if you don't believe in yourself? Now, when you say that, people say, well, that's arrogance and cockiness. No, that's confidence and assurance. You see, when you're confident and you know in whom you have believed. And you've heard me say it many times. I quit believing years ago. I mean, I'm tired of people going, I'm believing. I'm standing on the word. I'm believing. I don't know what I'm doing. I think I'm believing. I'm just trying to get this crazy thing to work. You see? And you get frustrated because your mind is not filled with cheerful, optimistic pictures of achievement. I saw the planes before I had them. I was actually in them before I physically saw them. I knew where God was going with me. I knew it. How? Conversation. Some of you heard me say that I preached in your church. Not too long ago, I met a Baptist preacher, and I like the Baptists. You know, Steve, I do. I like the Baptists, you know. And he looked at me and he said, you one of them prosperity healing preachers, aren't you? And I thought, oh, God, here we go again. I said, well, yes, sir. I believe in prosperity. I believe in healing. And he said, why don't you preach the whole counsel of God? I said, I don't know the whole counsel of God. And neither do you. That's why Brother Hagin preached a lot of faith, because that's what he knew. Brother Cope preached a lot of prosperity. That's what he knows. You got to find out what you know and preach what you know. Amen. You know, and as you grow, you learn more of the counsel of God. So I looked at him like this. He said, well, I don't believe in healing. I said, you hadn't got sick enough yet. Donnie looked at me like, what? I said, you hadn't got sick enough yet. You hadn't had a doctor stick his finger in your face. Say you got pancreatic cancer. Yeah, 2 weeks, 2 months at the latest. You're going down. All of a sudden, somebody like me becomes very popular to you. And I said, here's your other problem. You don't believe in the cross. Oh, you don't tell a Baptist that. Now, I'm not against Baptist because I preach in Baptist churches. He said, oh, yes, I do. I said, oh, no, you don't. I said, your problem is all your life you've been kneeling in front of the cross. Oh, Jesus, hoping that maybe a drop of God's blood, you know, from his eyebrow might hit your head to make you feel worthy. I said, get up. Quit kneeling at the cross. Boy, he didn't know. I said, follow me. So Jason, man, I was in the spirit of God, man. I was walking around. I said, your problem is you've never been to the back of the cross. You've only stood in the front, Jesus, crying all that crazy, stupid stuff. Get up, follow me. I took him behind the cross. I said, look at his back. You see, he has hardly no skin on it. The muscles have been torn by that cat of nine tails. The bones show it. He said, by his stripes you were healed. I said, sir, listen to me. That's the answer to cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, crippling arthritis, and infectious disorder. You cannot separate healing and salvation because it's on the cross. But you've never been to the back of the cross. That's your problem. Oh, he didn't know what to say. I said, I ain't finished. Walk with me. Let's go on the other side of the cross. And they're gambling for Jesus' robe. You don't gamble for rags. You gamble to get something better than what you got, right? That's prosperity. Everything that he's disagreeing with me is at the cross. But he never went to the back of the cross. He never went to the side of the cross. I said, I ain't finished. Let's go back to the front. Don't kneel down. Look up and climb the cross. Come on, let's climb this cross. Get up where Jesus is and see this. Go in the world and preach this gospel to every creature. Lay your hands on the sick. Well, I'm going to do that. It ain't your job to know how. It's your job to start to do something. By that time, he was crying. I said, that's how you believe the cross, brother. Not boo-hooing like some idiot. No. So next time, if you got a sickness in your body, go to the back of the cross and bring the devil with you. Come here. Look at his back. You caused that to happen. Yes. And you lost all the power you've ever had when that happened to the Jesus I know. By his stripes, ye were healed. See, that is what I call success thoughts. That's what I call filling up optimistic pictures of achievement. And all of a sudden, God said, Jesse, I'll do anything you can believe. And I had to find out, what do I believe? You see what I'm saying? Now, I never had a problem with money, you know, because I was raised very poor, and I wasn't ashamed of that. I ain't poor no more. Oh, no. Amen. Poverty's a curse. I don't live under a curse. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm a very strong man when people start attacking me about what I have. Well, I can't help it if it's the Lord gave it to you, what you want me to do. It ain't my fault. It's not my fault that I'm blessed. It's Deuteronomy 8:18's fault. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. I remember him, Don, for it is he that giveth me power to get wealth. So if wealth is so bad, why would he give me power to get it? Does that make any sense to anybody? See, vision is the biggest word in his vocabulary. What do you see? And what you are willing to do with what you see? Let me say it again. Your mind must be filled with cheerful, optimistic pictures of achievement. So I see myself as a success before I succeed. I'll give you a prime example. Some of you heard me say this. You know, I do have a bucket list. Some things I wanted to do. I always wanted to go to the Kentucky Derby. I've never been a gambler. I mean, I'm not against people or anything like that. I just like to see them horses run. I never seen horses with attitude. Thoroughbreds got attitude. A quarter horse will look at you. A thoroughbred will go, what? You want something? Boy, and they got that slick look. I mean, you can see it on them, son. I said, I want to see them horses run. And my good friend took us, me and Kathy, and man, we had the best seats, Jesus, right there for the finishing post and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, I thought, my God. And there's these wonderful women in beautiful gowns with hats on. And what they drink, them things, mint juleps, is that what they call? And I'm just, I could care less about all that. I'm just saying, we're not going to see these horses. And here they come, man. And I thought, look at them, son. When you're looking at them, them horses pick up on that, son. And sometimes they're just kind of like, secretary would do that. Yeah. Go ahead, enjoy yourself. Because you're looking at a champion here. So I'm enjoying it. Got hors d'oeuvres and everything you could possibly think of. I don't know nothing about horses. I know because I was raised on the streets. You see what I'm saying? And the Lord spoke to me. Now, there's some wealthy people here, you see. He said, you want to know who's going to win the Kentucky Derby? I said, yeah. He said, Medina Spirit. Is that the name of that? Medina Spirit. He said, you can tell everybody. Well, I thought they would be proud. You know, Robin, I thought they would be, because they dare to gamble, do whatever, bet on the horse. I said, excuse me, would y'all like to know who's going to win the Kentucky Derby? Now, that gets their attention. I mean, you see those women with the hats go, I mean, it's a fine-looking people here, you know? They're looking good. I said, Medina Spirit. Oh, no, man, Medina. There ain't no way no Medina Spirit going to win that. I mean, the odds so much against that. Well, how do you know that? I said, the Lord said it. Now, they looked at me that I done lost my ever-loving mind. The who said it? The Lord. Okay. Well, you going to bet? I said, no, because I'd win, and I have to find a place to put the money, and I don't want to do that. I got enough time. I don't have time to go be looking for another place to put some finances. They looked at me like I lost my mind. Boom, them horses started. Medina Spirit led all the way around. That's a big track, son. And they are straining with everything they got. And they were all screaming. And Medina Spirit crossed the line and won. They come up to me, all of a sudden everything changed. Are you coming back next year? And I could have said what a lot of preachers say, for a tithe of your winnings. I said, probably not. I said, but this is one of the things I've always wanted to see. Boy, you see that horse, how he just kind of, and I thought, my God, look at all this. Now, why would God do that? Witness.
I have a wonderful partner offer for you. It's my message, the cure for trouble. Is trouble troubling you? Be encouraged. Why? Because it's a sign that Jesus is coming soon. This message will strengthen your faith, release the peace of God in your life. Let's be ready for Jesus' great return. Order your copy, The Cure for Trouble, at jdm.org.
Vision always runs in advance of your ability to fulfill it. It's always ahead of you, see? But if you say, God chose me, and I'm going to complete this, and I'm going to do this. You're always going to have somebody say, you can't do this, you can't do that, but yet the Bible says you can do all things through Christ. You don't realize how much power you have as a Christian. No matter how old you are, don't you ever quit. And before you know it, you complete your destiny and reach your destination.
Listen, if you're ready to get into position to run with God's vision for your life, you can't miss my upcoming Visionary Conference. It's Thursday, July the 10th at 7 p.m. and Friday, July the 11th at 10 a.m. in the morning and 7 p.m. that night. It's only 3 days, actually 3 services. Registration and admission are absolutely free. Everyone is welcome. Isn't that a blessing of God? You don't have to pay to get in. Go to jdm.org, register. We need to know you're coming so we can provide a place for you to sit and get all the details. You don't want to miss out on God's vision for you. This conference will be life-changing. I'm telling you, people say they come from all over the world. Say, we've been to a lot of conferences, but not like this. Because we talk about the vision God has given you, not just my ministry. See, it's all about you. And that's what it's all about. My product order, I know we've offered this book many times. It's one of my favorite books. But I find everywhere I go, I see doubt by the loads full, by the truck full. It's my book, I Never Learned to Doubt. is one of my most favorite books God gave me to write, and it was to write it for you. Listen, doubt is a tool from the enemy. He does everything to shut you down. He uses it to stop you from achieving God's best in your life. You need to get this book. I mean that. Go to JDM.org and get your copy today, and you will be blessed. It will help you that doubt will you deter it. It won't be a part of your life. Partners, thank you for all that you do for us. My God. You know, there's not a day go by that we don't pray for our partners every day, and I mean that sincerely. Your faithful financial support is so vitally important in reaching people, changing lives one soul at a time. You've heard me say it many, many times. For every dollar given this ministry, I ask God for a soul. We're debt-free. Isn't that America? In debt-free since 1982. 100% of what you send goes into world evangelism. It doesn't go to pay off debt that the ministry has, because we have none. I'm telling you, I'm excited about that. Think about that. It's such a blessing of the Lord. Now, don't miss next week. Be sure to join me. We got part two of The Vision, the ultimate word in God's vocabulary. And I'm telling you, it's just such a blessing. And I mean that sincerely. Once again, partners, I wish I could say more than thank you, because you've done so much. Thank you for doing it and continue to do it. We will get people saved, healed, touched, blessed, and get them happy too, all at the same time. I love you. See you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye. Did you know that doubt is a habit? Yes, it is. You aren't born a doubter. You learn to doubt over time. In my book, I Never Learned to Doubt, you will learn something. And what is that? To go back in time and regain what was lost so that you can enjoy more peace, more joy, more favor, and more blessing. The wonder of faith is a pure thing. It's a childlike thing. And faith is the only thing that God responds to. When you never learn to doubt, life is so much better. I Never Learned to Doubt. It's my new book. Get it today.
This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
No matter what your vision is, you must be a business person first, or else you will always be placed at a disadvantage in life. Now, the prime example of that is Jesus Christ. At 12 years old, tells his mama, "I'm about my father's business."
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.